In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be looking up here wondering, that doesn't look like Father Beattie. He got sick yesterday, so please keep him in your prayers and say a little prayer for me in this sermon, because like I said, he only got sick yesterday. There's a book called Sleeping with Bread, Holding What Gives You Life, and in it, it recounts this story. During World War II and the Battle of Britain, the great air blitz of London, when the Germans were bombing the English capital, many children were made orphans. And if they were left on their own, they would starve. Many of them ended up in refugee camps where they could be properly fed and looked after. But even though they were safe, and even though they were getting fed every day, many of them could not fall asleep at night. They were too afraid and too anxious. Then someone came up with the idea of giving each one of these children a piece of bread to hold at night. And as they were able to hold this piece of bread, they could say to themselves, "Today I ate, and I will eat again tomorrow." And this allowed them to be calm enough that they could sleep and continue to grow and rest and heal. The authors tell this story at the beginning of the book as an introduction to the Ignatian concept of spiritual examine. Each day, a person asks, "Which moment am I most grateful for today? Which moment am I least grateful for today?" If those initial questions are not enough, they suggest other questions that get at the same concept, such as, "When did I give and receive the most love today? When did I give and receive the least love today? When did I feel the most alive today? When did I feel most like life was draining out of me?" The idea is that over time, patterns emerge to help a person discern how God is calling them in their life. In essence, when one follows this spiritual discipline, that person is sleeping with bread, truly holding on to what gives them life. But most of us have asked the question, "What am I supposed to do with my life? Why am I here? What is my purpose?" We might often wish that we were like Samuel in our Old Testament lesson today, who hears God's voice calling him directly. This type of call also happens to Abraham, and Moses, Gideon, Isaiah, and Mary, just to name a few. In making themselves available to God, Samuel and the others have their lives changed. They have a purpose given by God, but it may not have been what they were hoping for in their lives. Instead, the call is something they could not have asked for or even imagined. It transforms them, and it transforms the world around them. The simple questions of the spiritual examine bring us slowly and gently closer to where God is beckoning us. We need a variety of ways to help us discern if the call we are hearing in our lives is from God or our own desires. These questions give us a framework to do this. The book also suggests that we talk with others about the answers to the two questions in order to get a communal perspective. This is similar to the example we see in Samuel's story, where he keeps hearing God's voice, mistaking it for Eli's, and finally gets advice from Eli about it. It is useful in our own faith journeys to talk with a person or small group of people who are faithful and trusted about where we hear God calling. Receiving an outside perspective can help us see things that we cannot see ourselves. In this way, we are able to say, "Here I am to God," with an openness of heart. This is life-giving and aids us in sleeping with bread, each in our own way. Eating bread to sustain life is seen as a teachable moment in our gospel story today. When the Pharisees criticize Jesus and his disciples for gleaning from the fields on the Sabbath, Jesus reminds them that when David was called by God and anointed by Samuel, when he was a fugitive being hunted by Saul, he stopped in the house of God for safety and food. The high priest gave David the consecrated bread that was reserved for the priests in order to sustain the lives of David and his companions. Jesus highlights this story in conjunction with the reminder that the Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. The benefits of God benefit everyone. For God created the Sabbath, and to get mired in human law limits the scope of any benefit it may have. The reason for the Sabbath was and is to promote life and praise God as our creator and our liberator. The Pharisees knew this, but they were focused on the letter of the law and not the spirit in which Jesus applied it. Jesus is directly stating that he is the Son of Man and Lord of the Sabbath, which affirms his authority and puts him in conflict with the Pharisees. Jesus is doing God's will, while the Pharisees are focused on gathering evidence against him. Jesus takes this life-giving stance even further in the synagogue when he cures the man with the withered hand, restoring him to wholeness and to his community. At the same time, knowing that the Pharisees were watching and hoping to get more evidence against him. Again, we find Jesus leading us by example, following God's will, and speaking God's truth in the face of those who want to maintain the status quo. These stories of Jesus bringing life and truth on the Sabbath are instructive to us today. How is the Sabbath life-giving for us? Do we keep the Sabbath with the same spirit as Jesus does in these stories? Think about it this way. We see Jesus, the Son of God, healing and giving life while the Pharisees seek out human vengeance. How are we paying attention to the life-giving spirit of God in our own lives? And how can we support others in doing the same? Reflecting on those places of life where we light up and the world lights up with us, can refocus our eyes on the new things God is doing in our lives. Sometimes others have to hold the Christ light for us when we do not know the path, and sometimes others must share bread with us so we may sleep through the night. In turn, it is our call to do the same for others as Jesus does for us. Discernment is a never-ending process that is part of our lifelong Christian faith. We must continually ask, which moment am I most grateful for today? Which moment am I least grateful for today? Where we find our grateful moments today may be different tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, in 10 years, and 20 years. The most important thing is that we continue to seek and follow Jesus wherever he leads, abounding in his love and proclaiming his truth of mercy and forgiveness to the world. Amen.